Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 1 o'clock right here on AM, 1 o'clock, actually 2 o'clock, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here, and just want to thank Pastor Lutz, who was on just before us in the last half hour. If you didn't get a chance to hear, you missed the blessing, but I just want to thank him for confession, in his wardrobe, in his blue sweater there. Confession is good for the soul, and so I think we have to commend him for that. But if you didn't know what we were talking about, we kid each other back and forth quite a bit. But as Pastor Lutz said in the last half hour, we are going to be combining programs, and we actually have two times, I think, now that we're looking at combining. Pastor Lutz was talking about combining on the last Friday of this month, which is October the 30th, and that's the Friday before Election Day. And of course, if you're not prepared, Election Day is November the 3rd. And if you have not registered to vote and you're not registered to vote, unfortunately, you'll have to wait until the spring elections. Registration closed for the fall election this past week on Monday the 5th. And early voting began on Tuesday the 6th, and I know some people have already been out and voted. We don't do what they do in Chicago. I don't say vote early, vote often, but if you do want to vote early, you can do that. The local board of election, you can go in, and you can vote in person. I still think the best way is to show up at your polling station on November 3rd, Election Day, and vote in person at your polling station. But if you're unable to do that, you can still show up at your county board of elections and you can vote in person. So just simply find out where your county board of elections are and you can do that. You can always request an absentee ballot, but time is getting short to get your request in and to get your ballot and to make sure that it's in the mail. That ideally should be in the mail by the end of the month to make sure that it's there by Election Day. But when you vote in person and you fill out that ballot and you slide it into the machine and it scans it and it beeps and says your ballot's been accepted, you know that your vote is in there. You don't have to worry about whether or not it languished somewhere in the mail room, or if it got dropped along the wayside somewhere or misplaced or misrouted. You know it's there when you go in and vote in person. So that's why I always try to point people to doing that. All right, well, as Pastor Lutz said in the last half hour, we're looking at combining our programs, and it looks like what we're going to do is combine our two programs on October the 30th. That's the Friday before the election, and so I'll be on with Pastor Lutz at 1 o'clock, and he will be on with me at 1:30. We're going to talk about things with the coming election, and then we will combine our programs again on Friday, November the 6th, that is the Friday after the election, and we're going to talk about what happened as a result of the election. Hopefully, they'll be able to declare a winner by then, or project who's got which states and electoral college votes and everything like that. And of course, a lot of people forget that when we vote in November, vote right now, this election, you are not, this is going to sound strange to a lot of people. A lot of people are going to say, well, Pastor Al, that's not true. No, it's constitutional. It is true. You are not voting for president. Did you know that? You are not voting for president. See, but I see the name on the list, and I select President Trump to be reelected, or I select Joe Biden or somebody else in to replace him. No, you are voting to tell your state who you want your state to vote for. A lot of people don't understand this, and it's vitally important because so many people get upset and they don't know and understand. They think that the popular vote nationally should elect the president, and that's not the case. That's not what the founding fathers set up. That's not the intent of the Constitution. That's not what we do, and I, for one, am thankful for it because with our constitutional republic, we actually vote to tell our state who we want to be president of the United States. Remember, the federal government is a construct of the states, not the other way around. And so when we vote in this election for president, we're actually voting to tell our state who we want our state to vote for in the Electoral College. The purpose of that is so that a small state, population-wise, like Wyoming or New Hampshire or Alaska, can actually have a vote in who becomes president. Say, what, they already got a vote. If we have a national popular vote, they have a vote. No, they really don't. If we had a national popular vote to elect the president, here's what would happen. New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, and perhaps a few other places like that would elect the president, because all the president, the candidate would have to do is campaign in those key areas, win the majority of the votes there, and they would have more than enough votes that they would win, and the votes of people in Alaska, people in Hawaii, people in Maine, people in Idaho would be completely irrelevant in the election because there's no way that those people would have any say-so. And as a result, candidates for president would not campaign anywhere except where the key population areas are. So most likely, the only places they would visit would be the Chicago area, the New York City area, the LA area, the Miami area, and maybe Philadelphia and Baltimore and through that area there, and a few other perhaps places, but that's it. The Iowa caucuses would be meaningless. The New Hampshire primary would be meaningless because they would have absolutely zero say in who becomes president. But because of the Electoral College and the fact that we vote for the candidate that we want our state to vote for, and so we come together and Ohio picks, I believe Ohio is going to pick, I'll say it right now, I believe, Lord willing, Ohio is going to vote for Donald Trump to be reelected. Well, if that's the case, then we, as citizens of Ohio, we've let our voice be known. We've told our state we want our state to vote for Donald Trump for president. And what happens then is our state's electors go to the Electoral College in December, and they cast their vote, the vote for Ohio, and say Ohio votes for Donald Trump for president. And that way, Ohio has a vote, and Missouri has a vote, and Arkansas has a vote, and North Dakota has a vote, and South Dakota has a vote, and Kansas has a vote, and Idaho and Nebraska and any number of other states that might not otherwise have votes that count in the Electoral College. That's why candidates for president have to travel all over the United States and address people all over the country because they need votes. They need to carry states across the nation. They cannot win simply by carrying New York and California. They have to appeal to flyover country, which otherwise they would just about completely ignore. So thank God that we have a constitution. Thank God that the founding fathers put the Electoral College in place so that you and I have a say in who Ohio will vote for in the Electoral College in December for president. Lord willing, we will know by Friday November 6th, when Pastor Lutz and I do a combined program, we will know who is who has won Ohio, and hopefully we will know who won the other states, and by figuring out who won the popular vote in the various states, then they're able to calculate how many electoral votes that the various candidates will have when the Electoral College comes together to cast their votes. So that's how they're able to project that somebody wins. They win states, they calculate the number of electoral votes, and they calculate that, then they believe that as a result, we can call who's going to be the next president. So is it sometimes somewhat of a messy system? Absolutely. But I thank God that we have the freedom to be able to choose our leaders. And I thank God that the parts of the country, certain parts of the country, do not call all the shots, but we have a system designed so that people all over our nation can let their voice be heard in who becomes the president of the United States of America. Well, that was a few things I wanted to mention here at the start. Couple other things that I was wanting to mention here as we get going here today. We've talked about the elections. I want to remind you that I am Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can go there. You can find out links to some of our social media. You can also find a link to our Facebook page, our YouTube page, and busy talking here. Haven't gotten everything shared over for the YouTube feed, but we do have a feed from YouTube on our Facebook page, and I just, because it's just me in the studio, it's hard to get everything done real rapidly in the few minutes that the show opens, but excuse me, we try to get a number of those things shared over so that people can find them. We do have people that watch online and enjoy being able to hear the program there. And you can also see us or see me, since it's just me in here right now. But you can see me online at YouTube. But also want to invite you to our Friday night Bible study. We have a Bible study every Friday night. Our church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. We're in northern Summit County, right where the Ohio Turnpike, that's Interstate 80, in case you're not aware, the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross right there where we're at. And so we invite you to come out and visit. It's an informal Bible study. We have refreshments, coffee, different things, and we just do much of what we do on the radio, especially our Sunday night program, which I can plug that as well if you're not aware. We're on for an hour every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight, and we have open phone lines typically on Sunday night. We've not done that as much here on our Friday program, usually because the time we get started and time we open the phone lines, there's hardly enough time to get too many callers in. Plus, people I've found over the years don't seem as ready to call during the afternoon at this time on Friday, probably because people are working, people are doing things. You can listen, but it's hard to make a phone call and be on the phone when you're supposed to be at work. But on Sunday night, we tend to get more calls. We might get two or three calls. We might get four, five, even six calls. I think we've actually had more than that. We've squeezed in on rare occasions on Sunday night. But like I said, you can check us out here on AM 1220 every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And we have callers calling in with their questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. That's what we do in our Friday night Bible study. It's questions that people have about the Bible and God and current events in light of God's Word. So we're not afraid to touch on politics. It amazes me how many pastors are afraid to speak on politics. I don't know, they're afraid they're going to lose their tax-exempt status, I guess, or they're afraid that somebody's not going to agree with them, or they're afraid that they're going to make somebody upset. Well, You know, this is kind of interesting because I saw something online here just recently, and there's a it's hard to believe that there's a podcast with Hillary Clinton. She's still trying to keep her name out there. But Hillary Clinton in this podcast, she said, she made this statement that a lot of young people are leaving the church in part because the way they understand what Christianity has become. So she continues, so judgmental, so alienating that they think to themselves, well, I don't need that. And then she said, you and me both. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't look at Hillary Clinton for great theological insight. I don't look at her as a fount of wisdom to help understand what the gospel message is. Hillary Clinton is a Methodist, I believe. She's certainly a very modernistic Methodist. She is somebody that famously, during the course of the campaign 4 years ago when she was running for president, she made some very disparaging comments about Christians, and she even went so far at a meeting in 2015. This was a group. It was a women's conference in 2015. This is before I guess she was declared as a candidate at this time, but this is what she said, and this is her view of Christianity. This is why I don't listen to Hillary Clinton for theological pronouncements, but she said this. She said, far too many women are still denied critical access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. All the laws we've passed don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Laws, now listen to this, laws have to be backed up with resources and political will, deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. This is what she said. Religious beliefs and structural biases have to be changed. And she has not changed on that view. And in her recent pronouncement that young people are leaving because churches are too judgmental and alienating, I thought about that, and I was looking at some scriptures. And, you know, the thing of it is that when Jesus came into the world, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 34, he said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, when Jesus was saying here that he came not to send peace, and that he came with a sword, the sword that he's talking about is not the physical sword. The sword that he's talking about is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the sword that he's talking about. This is the sword that has the gospel message in it. Jesus is pictured in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. John on the Isle of Patmos sees him in this vision, and he sees Jesus. And it says, and he had in his hand, in his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So we're talking about the Word of God going forth from Jesus. And that word like a sword cuts and it divides asunder. And we know he's talking about this because in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 51, verses 51 through 53, companion passage to Matthew chapter 10, we read this: "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." This division came amongst many Jewish families when Jesus proclaimed himself as the Messiah. And as he proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, their households were divided. People were divided against each other. Jesus went to the cross and he offered himself up as our sacrifice. He shed his blood to pay for our sins. He died on the cross. He was buried. He was in the grave 3 days, three nights. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that he rose victorious over sin and death. And as that message was proclaimed by the disciples, we see that though thousands of people came to realize that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and they put their faith in him as their Savior, many people were against it. Remember the Apostle Paul, before being saved, he said, "I was the chiefest of sinners." He persecuted the early Christians viciously. He persecuted them even to the case of some of them being put to death. That's what the Apostle Paul did. And, you know, the idea here that that churches shouldn't cause any division or any unrest, sometimes just the very preaching of the Word of God causes a lot of division and unrest. Look at somebody who's a Muslim who comes to Christ. When they come to Christ, there's division and unrest in their family and amongst their friends, because the other Muslims are greatly angered and upset with them. Same thing happens when people come out of other religions. Look at somebody who gets saved and they leave a church that doesn't preach the gospel, and look at the things that are said about them. So yes, the gospel is that sword. The Word of God is that sword, and it causes division when we preach it. But you know, we're supposed to preach the truth in love, and we're supposed to stand up for the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to have compassion on those who are not saved. Can we be too harsh? Can we be too judgmental? Absolutely. But we need to remember that but for the grace of God, we'd be in that same situation. So we need to be careful to preach the truth, because there is no other means of salvation. Acts 4:12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then, of course, Jesus himself in John 14:6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's a divisive statement. Well, what do we need to do? We need to, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 6, preach the word. We need to preach the word. We need it more than ever. I think the reason a lot of young people are leaving churches today is there's nothing in these churches. The churches have left God. They've left God's word by the wayside. They're nothing more than social clubs, and they're preaching a social gospel, and they're hypocritical in many cases. Or they're not loving, they're not caring, they don't care for each other. We need, like I said, to preach the truth in love, and we need to proclaim the greatest message of love that's ever been given, and that's the fact that John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I like what Paul said here in Hebrews chapter 10. I know I'm running out of time. I have a lot more I want to talk about today. I guess better to have more material than time. But he says this in Hebrews 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. My friends, the day of the Lord's return is approaching. He could come for us at any time. It's more important that you assemble together with other believers and encourage one another with love and compassion to do the work God's given us to do. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.